Good morning, everyone. It's really a blessing to be together in each other's presence in this beautiful sanctuary. I'm grateful for you being here today and sending love and greetings to everyone who joins us in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony, wherever you may be, perhaps in your home or in your car or on a walk. It is so good to be together in this spiritual connection today, and I thank you for making the effort of attention to be in worship with us. Just a couple of announcements to draw your attention to, and all of this can be found on the happenings page of the church website. We do have two new classes occurring, one on the mystics of the Christian tradition. That class is on Zoom on Fridays at 12:30, and also a class on Bernadette Roberts' book, The Real Christ. That class is a wonderful discussion group on that book, and that meets on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 on Zoom as well. You will really want to block off on your calendar Friday, October 9th, and Saturday, October 10th. Our beloved friend and spiritual father, such an imprint on this community over the decades, Father Carl Arrico, will be coming and leading us in a retreat on Saturday the 10th. And also he'll be giving a beautiful teaching on Friday evening, October 9th. You don't need to pay for the Friday evening session. A donation is invited. But do register for the Saturday Centering Prayer Retreat led by Father Carl, in part because we only have space for 30 people, and that is an online experience. You can, as you can see, you can attend worship in person. We have partially reopened. We do still have space for others to join us, and you can go online to register. Please pre-register for that, for Wednesday evening service and for Sunday morning service. We do have a youth program occurring simultaneously, so if you want to bring your youth, they would be welcome, and we would love to see them in person. Perhaps you saw the beautiful video at the beginning of our service today. If you didn't, you might want to tune in early next week. Our beloved Michael has prepared a little vestibule entrance to give a sense of the church campus and the experience of walking into the sanctuary, starting from the parking lot grounds, and it's a really beautiful way for us to be here even though we can't be here in person. That's all the announcements I have. I'm just so grateful that we're together in this heart connection space, and let's just take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit. We already know the Spirit's present and active, but let's consent more deeply to receive whatever we need to receive today through this service. And that this service would be a bit of a transformer, sending love and light out into the world and to our families, our communities, and the cosmos. Let's wish for that together, wherever we may be. May it be so. Amen.
Friends in the sanctuary, we ask that you leave your mask on while you join us in invoking the Holy Spirit by singing softly, Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Let's stand and sing. The gospel in one word is love.
Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Mother God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Giver of this and every moment, Sustainer of our very existence, we thank you that this is our most human moment. We thank you for our open hearts. We thank you for our broken hearts. We thank you for all the wounds that pierce us open to the deep awakening of your purification of our hearts and minds and bodies into the light of your love. We thank you for the gift of each of our lifetime journeys in this life and beyond. We ask that you would give each of us the strength, courage, and energy to turn to the light, to receive your wisdom, and be transformed into love. Give us this courage in our relationships, in our family, in our work, in our nation, in our planet. We belong to you. This is your space, and now we consent to your work more deeply in each of our lives. We pray this as a deep wish for us, for all beings on this planet. In your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to the Church Ladies Show. Red is in her portal, working with the light, and we wish to welcome two new Lucky Lightworker members. We've got Julie Reardon and Lynn Brooks. It has come to our attention here on the Church Ladies Show that some of you may have been out riding your bicycle when we first introduced the portal. So we're going to do a bit of review so that everyone can be on the same page, so to speak. So when you create your portal, you create it with your inner eyes. It's inside of you. It's your inner room where you go and you work with the light. Now, you might want to have a cushion there so you can sit down with your imagination. And then what you want to do is create your dashboard. Now, your dashboard is a set of buttons or some sort of mechanical apparatus is what I was looking for. And these are to help you direct your light to wherever it needs to go. So, if you get into your portal, you use your imagination to create this dashboard. And then you create a gear shift so you can really amplify the energy and send it out. I hope that's clear, and I hope that more of you will join us. Oh, looks like Red is coming up out of her portal.
Hi, Granny. So good to see you.
Hello, Red. Good to see you, too. Can you tell us what your portal looks like now?
Yes, Granny. I have three main buttons. A people button, a place button, and a thing button. You know, nouns.
Oh, lovely. And who are your people, places, and things that you are sending light to right now?
Well, my people person is Pastor Peter. That's a lot of P's, isn't it? People person, So I send Pastor Peter the light because he has the job of being the shepherd of so many sheep, and that's a lot of responsibility. And the place is the rainbow. Well, you know, we all love the rainbow. And I feel so good when I'm in the rainbow. And the thing right now is a little dog named Emma. It's Pastor Peter's dog. I figure that man needs his best friend when he's in the light. And it also reminds me of Wilson.
Well, that sounds lovely. Now, do you have any other buttons?
Well, yes, I have that big button that says treble.
Oh, and what is that button for?
Well, Granny, don't tell Mummy and Daddy, but sometimes I overhear them talking. And they're talking about all the troubles in the kingdom. They talk about the taxes. They talk about the king, and they talk about the advisors. They talk about warring tribes. They talk about possible food shortages and famine and forest fires and things that really are a lot of trouble. And it worries me, and so I have to have a trouble button.
Oh, darling, you should not be worried about the troubles of the grown-ups. Those things come and go. There will always be things that the grown-ups are upset about. You must find something else to do besides overhearing your family's conversations. Would you like to hear a story?
Oh, yes, Granny, I love stories. All children love stories.
Well, this story is about a king who lived a long time ago. And he had a rather large kingdom and many subjects, and they loved him. All was well in his kingdom. And a Raja from a foreign country sent him a beautiful diamond. He asked his jewelers to create a most exquisite ring to set the diamond in. And it was just about finished, and he went to his advisors, his wise men, and he said to them, "I've created a little hollow spot in my ring for a message, something that I can turn to in times of trouble, something when I am in utter despair that will lift me up. But it can only be about 3 or 4 words. There's not room for more." All of his advisors consulted their treatises and their papers and their scrolls and their books, but they could not find anything so small as 3 or 4 sentences that would do. They could find volumes to answer that, but not 3 or 4 words. And finally, the king's old servant came forward and he said, "Your Highness, I have lived many years here in the kingdom. I served your father and his father, and I know the words. And I will tell them to you. Well, I will write them down for you. You must put them in the ring and not look at them until you are actually in utter despair." And the king asked him where he had heard these words, and the servant explained that long, long ago, during his father's reign, a holy man had come to the kingdom, and the servant had been put in charge of taking care of the holy man while he was there in the castle. And he had given the servant the message, and he had never told a soul. The old servant, with his little hand, wrote down the words. His hand was shaky, but he folded it and he gave it to the king, and he said, "Put this in the ring, Your Highness. It will not fail you." Well, it was not that long after that changed, and the king found himself at war with enemies. In fact, he lost the war. He was escaping for his life on his horse with a huge army behind him. He went into the forest, and he went fast as he could down trails, trying to escape the hoofbeats that were so close behind him. And finally, he came to the end of the road. He was overlooking a huge drop-off. He was at the edge of a cliff, and he was in despair, and he thought, now is the time to open the ring. And so he opened the ring, and there was the little slip of paper, and he took it out, and he unfolded it. Oh my, look at the time. I'm going to have to leave the ending of this story till next week. We're definitely at a cliffhanger.
Oh, Granny, you always do this.
Fun, isn't it?
The first scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. The second scripture reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May these readings nourish our journeys deeper into wisdom and love.
Well, I sit before you this morning as a man whose love tank is full, and that beautiful gift of overflowing love from God, from others, from beloved, it's a real joy to feel. It's not always the case for me or for anyone on this planet to feel that overflow of love, to feel the container of one's being filled. It's a very high quality experience. And by way of contrast, it becomes all the more sweet and grateful because one can look back and notice the difference when one has been depleted and empty and love has seemed to have disappeared. And the invitation for all of us really on this planet is to discover the blockages to love in our lives. And more than any teaching in the work of Inner Christianity, the purification of the emotional center is a jewel for the dilemma that human beings face today more than ever. In a community of 7 billion going to 10 billion and certainly perhaps 15 billion by 2050, in a community, world community, interconnected with instant knowledge and communication, stressors at such a social and global level we have never experienced on this planet, we must draw heavily upon the wisdom traditions to evolve further and not come to a greater demise. And the purification of the emotional center is perhaps the key for a lot of us in participating in the transformation into the light of God's love, little by little by little. So we've been in this series on what does it mean to experience the fullness of life? The lawyer asked Jesus, you know, how do I get eternal life or how do I get the kingdom of God? Well, that's a euphemistic way of talking about the essence of what the fullness of life is intended by God. If you remember, in the Jewish mindset, the essence of the intention of God was here on this planet in the Garden of Eden. Communion with God in paradise and harmony with all living creatures. And that was God's intention. So God's intention isn't an exit plan to some other planet on a SpaceX rocket. Although, sign me up. You know, so there's something about this planet, there's something about all the creatures and something about each other that is part of the divine plan of what fullness of life is meant to be. We're clearly not there yet. And obviously in the Jewish story, something went dramatically wrong. Something went deeply wrong that infected humankind like a virus, closing our hearts down to one another. And that is a great question mark of wondering why that happened. And do you know the story? You know, it starts with Cain and Abel, this fratricide, that this paradise was just shattered by a negative emotion of envy. And it's a negative emotion that typifies the problem that we show up on this planet as socially physical beings of an emotional quality that hasn't quite evolved yet to reach our physical evolution. And these three brains that we have are not yet quite perhaps fully evolved. But they're getting more and more so, and we're getting access to tools because of the cardiologists and the neurologists and the social scientists that are teaching us so much that we need to learn about. And so this notion of the fullness of life that this man asked Jesus, how do I get that? Jesus answers, you know, love with all your being, all the parts of yourself, with your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And love God. It's a really wonderful invitation for all of us to ponder how we're doing in this. Especially, as I have been saying, in a world where our distractions are abundant, our concerns are real. I heard feedback this week that perhaps last week I minimized people's lived concerns. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the concerns are real. This world is imperfect and unjust. But that doesn't mean that it has to eat your attention to the extent that you are missing the mark. And that's the difference. How we live in relationship to the disorder and the disharmony and the dysfunction in this world. Not to blind ourselves by sticking our heads in the sand. All the while we groan inwardly with the brokenness of life, we give our utmost attention in all the parts of our centers to love God. And that becomes the corrective, this beautiful, harmonizing, connecting influence that lifts us up from the concerns of this world without ignoring them and empowers us to face the concerns of whatever we're experiencing in our homes with their kids, grandkids, culture. That's what I'm wishing to convey. And this notion that we are going to look at today, that is the first dimension or the first center that Jesus says we're to love God with, is almost intuitive, I think, for all of us, that we love God with all of our heart. And so this is very important for us to explore, because we can tend to over-sentimentalize this notion of loving God with our heart. A couple of thoughts and then a few illustrations, and I hope it will come together in some fashion to bless us. But in two locations in the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, this great invitation is given. And in Luke, there are four centers that he invites us to love God with: our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. And in Matthew, it's just our heart, soul, and mind. Now keep in mind that Luke was perhaps a medical doctor. And so the medical doctor adds strength, the physicality. And you can see here a similarity to the work idea of the centers. But I think that's very useful, that there's a degree of order here, perhaps, that the purification of the emotional center is the start. Love God with your heart. And if there's any other way of talking about what this heart is, it certainly is what the work calls the emotional center. And let's talk a little bit more about what we mean by the word heart. First of all, you already know Greek. You just don't know that you know it. The Greek word for heart is cardia. And we all know that word because we've perhaps gone to the cardiologist. Cardia is this beautiful feminine noun. And that feminine noun is used to describe the center and seat of the human person, not only the spiritual, not only the emotional, but the physical center and soul of the totality of one's personality, intuition, and here's the interesting part, volition, the heart, the cardia, the feminine noun was the will, connected to the will. And so our emotional center is very much affecting what we choose, desire, want. And what we choose, desire, want affects our emotional state. And we don't have to go into too much detail to recognize that what we are choosing, wanting, and desiring is clearly affecting our emotional state. And if we want a different emotional state, change what we're choosing, desiring, and wanting. For example, look at Cain and Abel. If Cain could have only chosen to want and desire something different than to be better than his brother, if in that moment he could have chosen a different, higher, deeper emotion than envy and wanted his brother to succeed versus him to win, what would his emotional state and his consequence of his life been? It's a very simple example that we can see in our own lives, that what we are choosing, wanting, and desiring impact our emotional state. Psalm 51 is this beautiful illustration of this, and this is one of those psalms to memorize. We use it again and again in the season of Lent. But I'll just read to you verses 6 through 10, because it gets at this invitation that something is out of harmony with our heart center, with our emotional center. And this is a prayer, like St. Paul's prayer that Marianne just read from Ephesians 3. This is St. David's prayer, beautiful David, who is described as a man, a person after God's heart. And this is his prayer after after the damage that his will did, the damage of his will desiring another woman, entering into adultery, conceiving a son, killing the woman's husband, and losing that son. And this is what he says after all that. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, from my aimlessness, and blot out my iniquities. And this is this beautiful concluding verse that we all should memorize. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a connected spirit, a vertical spirit in me. It says clean or right spirit, but that word right is upright, connected, vertical. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew that verticality in me. And that gets at that need for the purification of the emotional center on a spiritual level that's happening all the time in the silence. The silence is God's mode of creating cleanness and newness in our hearts. It's more sacred than anything we could put words on. What's happening in the, what did you call it? The light tower?
The portal.
The portal. What's happening in the portal, what's happening in the chamber of our heart in the silence. It is a portal, and it is a time travel device. It is a displacement that takes us from one state to another, what God does in the silence. It is transforming us. And that beautiful gift of centering prayer is a heart practice, no doubt about it. I love that whoever's insight it was did that series on heartfulness. And I thought, you know, mindfulness is terrific. That Vipassana meditation, insight meditation is terrific. But that's pretty mind-based. I want to get down into that heart. Cleanse me, renew me, purify my emotional center. Heartfulness practice. Beautiful. The gift of the silence. And so many of these silent meditative practices bring about that purification. That Book of Joy, you know, about the Desmond Tutu and Dalai Lama. You know, so I want to be like that. That's my desire. Make me more full of joy. Well, look at these guys. Look at how full of light and love they are. What if more humans on this planet sat in the silence and allowed the silence to do that purification of the emotional center? We'd start to be happy for no reason. Our love tanks would fill, and we'd fill one another instead of depleting one another, as so often is the case in relationships. Well, this will be interesting to you, I hope. And this is something sacred about the actual language of Hebrew. Hebrew preceded the language of Greek, the language of the New Testament. But Hebrew is the language of the Jewish scriptures. And the Hebrew alphabet is a pictorial alphabet, and it reads from the right to the left, unlike English. And that pictorial alphabet is similar in many ways to Chinese symbols. It's very different than the language, the alphabet we're used to. But in Hebrew, the word for heart is just two letters, the lamed and the bet. And it's the Hebrew word, it's pronounced, you'd think it's pronounced leb, but it's lev, it has a V quality to the B, lev. And the symbols of the lamed and the bet, I wish I had the foresight to put this on the screen because he could have screen shared this, but the lamed looks like a wooden staff with a little hitch in it. You know, a staff you'd walk with, and a walking stick that's not straight but has a little bit of a curve. That's the lamed. The bet is a symbol that looks like a lean-to. Now, what do these symbols seek to convey? The staff conveys authority, and the bet conveys shelter. Authority and shelter. Heart. The symbols of the Hebrew word heart combine authority and shelter. So here is how I would translate the Hebrew word lev, heart. Heart is the controlling voice of guidance inside us. The controlling or guiding voice of authority and intuition inside us. This is the shelter. This is the bet. And that inner voice that we hear is the authority, your heart authority. It's beautiful, conveyed there in those two little pictorial images of the ancient Hebrew language. The controlling voice of authority inside us. And what does Jesus say the controlling voice of authority should be in us? Love. Love should be in the shelter of our being, the center of our being. There's a new science out there, and I'm not going to talk about it now because it's above my pay grade, but go to heartmath.org, heartmath, one word, heartmath.org, Heart Math Institute. Look at the videos. That's all I need to say. There it all is. That is the modern understanding of what Jesus was saying and what the Hebrew word, ancient Hebrew word, lev, is trying to say. Our inner authority of heart coherence that we listen to, that we take shelter in, and that we shelter others with and take them in to our little tent to dwell in. Come and dwell in my tent and be sheltered. And so, spiritually speaking, we need to attune to that harmony of the voice of authority that comes from above, that isn't just our own worst base instincts, because we have these multiple voices and multiple aspects of ourself in us. And so this heart chamber, this heart space, can be filled with dissonant voices, destructive voices, and very damaging energies, uncontrolled energies. And when these energies, which uprise in the normal course of our spiritual evolution, begin to come unloosed, there can be incoherent connection. And one needs to be aware of that on the spiritual journey, because they're very natural, very common, but one needs to seek to recognize that that energy is in need of integration and transformation as it moves through the system. And this gets us to a story. When I was 33 years old, I had a bit of an emotional crisis, and I had an intuition to go on a hike in the Tetons alone. And I've shared this story on other occasions, so I won't go into it. But I ended up meeting a healer after my 3 days up in the mountains. It's very symbolic, I think. I came back out 3 days and met this woman who was a healer. Now, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't know even what I knew. I didn't know what I needed. But this healer woman had an intuition and told me about my life. She didn't know me, had a psychic gift, had an intuitive gift, had a healing gift. She did energy work on me that would, at the time I didn't know what it would have been called, but it was either some form of chakra healing or integrating, or Reiki therapy. But nonetheless, it was physical. It was a physical healing modality that involved my body. And my body began to unload emotion, negative emotion. And it was uncomfortable. After this healing session, she handed me a CD and she said, you'll be needing this. I put the CD in and started to drive north to Yellowstone. And on the fifth song, it was a beautiful sitar, Indian music. And the vibration of that sitar, music I'd never heard before, and you know perhaps what I'm talking about, that deep resonant. That energy did something to whatever she had done to my chakras, and it was as if a zipper, and I literally started to weep and kind of just feel overly uncomfortable. And I wept and wept and wept, stopped the car, fell out of the car, wept and wept and wept on the ground. And that's all I'll say about it. But the point, what I'm trying to get at, is that I have never been the same since that moment. I turned the car around and went back and said, what just happened to me? And I spent several years integrating. But do you know what I did leaving the Tetons? I was full of smiles. I was full of love and light. And the next day, I was preaching a sermon at the First Presbyterian Church of Flint, Michigan, where you'd walk up 5 steps to the big commanding pulpit and wear the Geneva gown, where I would normally read my manuscripts and sound very serious. And I stood up there and I looked at the people and I said, the open heart bearing, you know, and I made a fool of myself. But I hadn't integrated that energy. And I didn't know what I was doing. Quickly started eating vegetarian, started juicing, started doing yoga, had the deepest wish of my life to meet a spiritual mentor and teacher, to be a part of a spiritual community that could help me understand what had just happened to me and what she had taught me. She couldn't tell me what books to read. A year later, I was plopped right next door to this church at Westlake Hills Presbyterian Church, the only church in the world next door to the only church in the world with the only minister that could probably have helped me. Walked into the bookstore, started to look at the commentaries. That's what this woman in the Tetons was teaching me. She just didn't know it. the work. Purification of the emotional center and on and on. So this physicality thing is really important in terms of the heart, how we love God, the purification of our emotional center. Now that began a journey for me of the continuation of the purification of the emotional center. It continues to this day. But big shifts happen in a physical way. Someone just told me the other day that they had spent time with a masseuse who was specifically herself working on opening her heart chakra. And that masseuse's energy blessed this person receiving the massage, and their hearts in some way served each other to such an extent that the one receiving the massage left that massage with a heart opened and the fear was diminished. And something happened that is very oftentimes the case in spiritual work. She had to stop the car, and there was a sensation of vomiting up. Vomiting. After that heart chakra was opened. So the purification is physical, not just spiritual and emotional. And I think that's the key part to think about. And the Jewish people are totally embodied. And that heart center was never meant to be just sentimentality. It was the central nervous system of our whole being. And we're to love God with that heart center. When that heart center is out of coherence with ourselves, with others, with God, with nature, things don't function very well. One other illustration, and then I'll conclude with an invitation. This is an illustration, and if you're in the Journey School, you know that we've been talking about the step diagram, this idea of the transformation of higher energies down to this level on our planet. We've been talking about the transformation of different influences in us. And I was trying to think about an image of what the heart is. The heart is not a pump. It's more than a pump. It obviously pumps blood. But the heart is this meeting place, this portal. And the image that came to me this morning, filled with love, was this notion of the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal is this central thing in our hemisphere. It's right at the center of our North and South America. And it's this tiny little band that is so powerful. It was man-made. It was a possibility. And we made it happen. But here's the thing about the Panama Canal. It connects two massive influences that otherwise could never have connected. The Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. And if you think about these symbols of these massive influences connected by this tiny 51-mile band of a canal. And this canal is so extraordinary, it shaves 8,000 nautical miles off the normal route around Cape Horn, which is a treacherous route. Killed many, many people over the centuries. And if we could just have this direct route between these two influences that would purify the possibility of damage around the great difficulties and the narrow spots of life, and the great connection between the Atlantic and the Pacific of our life, between the head and the body. The Pacific in its mind and the body in its desires is the raging Atlantic. And this little connector between these two massive organs. And the amazing thing about the Panama Canal is that over a period of 12 locks and dams, ships rise up 180 feet from sea level. And then are dropped down 180 feet. And this pumping of water lifts these massive vessels up and takes them to a place where they could never go by themselves. That's what the heart does when it's functioning. It transforms energy from higher places and takes it down into our body and redistributes it literally in our blood flow so that we become magnetized with a quality called love. The issues are in our tissues, and so is the light and the love flowing right into our cells. And I have felt that love. I have been touched by that love. And it's physical. And I know you have as well. And just to close with an invitation. Oh, I had all these books to read. That's not happening. I just conclude with an invitation. We recently saw a movie, that I hope wins Best Picture ever. It's such a COVID-era movie, so good for us as a species. And I hope you've seen it. If you haven't, watch it. I'm not going to say much about it to give it away. But it's called My Octopus Teacher. My Octopus Teacher. It's on Netflix. And this movie so deeply opened my heart. And there's a scene in the movie where this octopus is cuddled up at the heart center of the man. And to listen to this man talk, you know, about his journey, his life, and how this little octopus changed his life. And studying one place over a period of years, just being here now and being observant of his little place in the world, his little postage-sized stamp place, wherever he were put, to be there and to know it and to love it and to love it in its particularity. And so the heart is this chamber that connects the great universal existence to the great particular. It's very spiritual to say love is the solution. There's no accountability in that, though. To be so heavenly minded, love God, but then to miss the particular. It's the classic tension between Plato and Aristotle. Plato's pointing up, all that matters is the universal one. Aristotle's pointing down. All that matters is this particular creature. That's the only way you'd know what a human being was without this particular human being. The universal and the particular. And the heart can speak both languages when it's purified. And we give ourselves to that journey of purification. We encourage each other when we are tired and weary and feel so brokenhearted. And we inspire one another when we see what God does, what the universal does, what the particular does when it opens someone's heart and purifies it into love. That's the gift of this community more than anything else, is that it is exhibit A of beings who have these beating hearts for God and for one another and who are human and recognize we need each other to keep growing and going on the journeys, deeper on the way. You've heard what I've had to say, and perhaps the great mystery of divine love is working right now in your heart. And let's give space and silence for that work to occur now. May this little Panama Canal send love out all around the world in this very moment, radiating to the boys and girls in famine and in concentration camps and in slavery camps and in sex trade camps, all those who are suffering because of racism and injustice, all those who are hungry and in prison, all those who are in need of hope and encouragement, all those who are sick and dying, all those who feel they have nothing to hold on to, may your love flow to them at this very moment and give them hope. We pray this and we dedicate all of this, taking our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our consciousness and into our hands, remembering the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen.
I give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks with my whole heart. I give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks for your steadfast love. all the people. I sing your praise. I was humbled when I came to see that you dwell in me. I give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks with my whole heart. I give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks for your steadfast love. On the day that I called, strength of my soul, you did increase. Give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks with my whole heart. I give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks for your steadfast love. Though I walk through trouble, you preserve my life. You guide me as I pray. Your love endures forever. I give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks with my whole. I give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks with my whole heart. I give thanks with my whole heart. Thanks for your steadfast
Now is the time in our service when we rest in the silence of centering prayer for 10 minutes, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
For those of you joining us from home, we are so blessed that we can partake in this together. I encourage you to prepare the elements for yourselves now. And as I partake in the bread, everyone in the room and wherever you are, I invite you to partake in the bread. And as I partake in the cup, I invite you to partake in the cup. And those in the room, we aren't partaking in the cup, but we can with one consciousness partake as I hold the cup for all of us. I view this table, the Lord's table, as a Panama Canal-like connector. The beauty of the universal coming down to the particular, the universal body of Christ coming down to the particular piece of bread in each of our hands. And so we like to send love and prayers to particular individuals, that this energy would feed particular individuals. And so I wish to dedicate the energy of this Eucharist to the family of Ken Ely, our board president. His father passed away of natural causes a couple months ago, and Ken and Sandra and the girls are traveling to celebrate his father's funeral this week in New Jersey. So let's just send love and prayers for their family as they grieve and celebrate. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you always hear us. We know you hear us now. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them convey his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Spirit and transform us into love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And I invite you to take yours with me. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious threefold name. Amen. As we conclude our service with song, I encourage you to stand, and those of us in the room, let's stand and wave and send love to those in our cloud community. The camera's right back there. You'll get a sense of what I've been dealing with. Go ahead, turn around. Such special graces to you who have been here in person, and such extra special graces for you who are out there in the cloud. We love you, we feel you, and we are together in one body of Christ. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit is transforming our hearts, purifying them, and sending love out through us to many, many, many others. Amen.